One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
The Buffalo Chicken Sub has arrived at Penn Station East Coast Subs. It's got the kick, it's got the crunch, and it's packed with bold buffalo flavor, melty cheese, and perfectly grilled chicken. Only for a limited time. Name a better pair than buffalo and chicken. Fresh cut fries and freshly squeezed lemonade? How about all of the above? Order the new Buffalo Chicken Sub any way you like it at your nearest Penn Station location today. Order ahead online at penn-station.com for easy pickup. Or enjoy it hot off the grill for dine-in at Penn Station East Coast Subs.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for a special episode on the AFC North, which has an unbelievable number of moving parts that have been moving all over the parking lot puzzle these last couple of days. Joining me to talk about that is Paul S. You know him as at the NFL analyst on Twitter. If you can get Twitter to work today, there's been some problems. We're recording this on Monday afternoon. I'm sure you guys are aware. Start of tampering period, very busy activity day. Paul, how you doing?
Great, Ken. How you doing?
No complaints at all. Let's jump right into it in the AFC North, where the Steelers have made significant waves. And in the last hour, their left tackle got signed away by the Tennessee Titans. It looks like the left tackle market is going to get more and more frenzied and frothy with the early signing of Ronnie Stanley and Alaric Jackson. And now Dan Moore going to the Titans for 4 years for $82 million.
Yeah, the plan is in Pittsburgh is they're going to take Broderick Jones, their very high first pick. That's been quite a disappointment recently. They're going to take him and move him to left tackle and see if that works out. But they're going to need somebody over there, and that seems to be the plan as of right now for them.
We'll save the best for last and talk about DK Metcalf second. A big trade with Seattle to pick him up. You know, the price in terms of draft capital is not going to seem high to people who frequent Twitter or think that, you know, typical wide receivers are worth a first and a third. He's traded for a second round pick because it's a Steelers second round pick. It's going to be a mid second round pick, not a high one. He had 1 year left on his deal. And I don't have it in front of me, but it was a 3-year deal for $72 million that he was signed for. So the Steelers are in for a big, hard swallow on an extension that's coming up real soon.
Yeah, they had, as I mentioned before, they had to spend a lot of cash. And this was pretty much the only way they can do it because their contract structures are such that they don't offer a lot of guarantees. So that kind of takes them out of the upper end of the free agent market, because you really can't secure those guys without significant guarantees. So the next best option is to go out and make a trade like this and give them a huge extension. And initial reports I saw were 5 for $150. And I thought $30 million, you know, it's kind of about right, maybe a little rich. When I saw it was $33 million AAV in new money, that is a big number, because that changes the market for a lot of players coming up that we're going to be talking about with the Bengals, especially.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It hurts the Bengals from that standpoint. This, of course, gives the Steelers Pickens and Metcalf on the outside. Pickens will be a UFA next year. I can't see him staying with Metcalf, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it really seems like they're trying to move on from Pickens. They tried to do it last year with Ayuk, pay that guy versus pay Pickens. Now the question is Pickens going to be a good soldier for this last year playing for
nothing? Well, you know the answer to that question.
Right. So
I thought, who was it? Sharp had a good comment about it. He said two diva receivers, similar, you know, in stature and whatnot. What could go wrong, kind of thing. It's a great comment. It's one of those things that, of course, you know, that's going to be tough. And there's all kinds of posts on it about the Steelers boards. If you want to have a good laugh, go over there and look at that. As bad as the wide receiver situation is, though, the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh is getting even more frothy and with some stuff in there you don't want to see if you're a Steelers fan. So there are four guys at least that the Steelers are considering. First is Justin Fields, prototypical kind of running quarterback, hasn't put it together as a passer. We'll keep moving here. Josh Wilson, of course, who was their starter last year, they went with at the end of the year. He came back from his injury. He replaced Fields. They said that was the plan all along. Fields had played pretty well. Josh Wilson was, but for the year, not terrible, certainly pretty good deep ball thrower. A lot of problems that Josh Wilson has typically had that all basically stem from being very short in terms of seeing the middle of the field. I think, as I understand the market, the guy they're really looking to sign is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw some news that they're going to meet with Aaron Rodgers too.
Yes.
I don't know if that's their top choice right there. But yeah, they're definitely looking, because that's the big question. Who's throwing these guys the ball? I mean, we've got two X's in Metcalf and Pickens now who are, you know, kind of down the field guys. So who are you going to pick? Fields is obviously going to be the cheapest, but in his situation right now, he's definitely going to want to go to free agency. He's young. He's the youngest. He's got the most upside. But yeah, they're probably going to be, is it going to be Fields? Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Or could be Darnold? We don't know right now. It could be any of those guys. Like you said, a lot of moving parts right now, but they need to find somebody.
Right. There are a lot of teams in the National Football League that have not settled on their starting quarterback for this year. And we're starting to get down to the real dregs. When you talk about choosing among Fields, Wilson, Darnold, and Rodgers, you're really talking about the middle to bottom echelon of the NFL in terms of what you could expect in terms of quarterback production. I don't expect them to draft a QB. I expect them, you know, with the kind of roster they have, to try and sign one of the guys among these four. Maybe, I'm not sure who else is available. These are pretty much the big four. Geno Smith was traded over the weekend, so he's out of the mix. Not sure exactly what they. What they might do, but I don't expect it to be a draft. You got any different feeling about this?
No. Yeah. I mean, they're clearly trying to win. So it's going to be one of those four. Which one, you know, we don't know. I could make arguments for each one of them. So we're just gonna have to see and let that play out.
Right. I'd have a very hard time making an argument for Rodgers. I think he's the last resort, last resort of a scoundrel, so to speak. There's a great quote out there on the board that I just have to say. Sometimes it's pure gold watching fans overreact and also just react with the understanding of how their team operates. It can be very funny. But anyway, the comment I saw was, for a team that drafted Kenny, signed Mitch, benched Justin, and stuck with Russell Wilson, .. you really expect the Steelers to make a good QB decision for next year?
Right. Yeah, and Steelers fan base is really struggling with the concept of what they're going to have to pay each of these guys. Right. And they don't really understand the starting QB market and all that. And it's going to be $20 to $35 million, depending on which one of those guys they probably pick. But yeah, there are issues with all those guys in one way or another. So
I think the issue is that it's going to be more than that. And, Lamar Jackson is on a 52 and a half, whatever it is, $1 million AAV contract. But I think if it's Sam Darnold, it's probably 45 million, probably. If it's Josh Wilson, it might be 35 million. If it's Justin Fields, it might be 30 million. But I think all of these guys people are going to be biting their tongues looking at the contract they paid.
They are. That's quarterbacks. There's only 32 spots. And if you're paying one to start for you, pretty much, it's not going to be cheap.
Let's move on to the Bengals, because they have a different set of problems. They Josh Allen re-signing the extension. I don't really think that's the news a lot of people think it is. There's extensions made in advance. They're purely financial moves made to extend and defer money. And I expect the Ravens to have one for Lamar Jackson, despite the fact there's 3 years left on his contract. The fact that it's got money involved in it that seems large, it is not really that big a deal. There's already a ton of money on Lamar's contract. This is just going to be spreading it out differently, adding a couple of years at high value, but spreading that money out differently. I think Burrow is a next in line probably to get a extension of some sort, or
he could be. But I think the one thing the Allen deal does is it kind of helps the Ravens go to Lamar and say, yep, can we get something done here? Because we really need to. The AAV was real good long term. So now Allen's locked up for 6 full years. That should be interesting. Probably won't happen anytime soon if I had to guess. But it definitely helps the Ravens if I had to guess on that.
I do think there's a pretty good chance it happens this offseason. And when EDC had the conversation about Lamar having input into the offensive players on the roster and whatnot, the implication in a certain way, or the way it was taken by a lot of the people, is that he's really talking about Mark Andrews, or he's talking about a wide receiver, blah, blah, blah. But I don't believe that's it. He said he was going down to see Lamar about that. And I think that the real topic is going to be the extension. And the Ravens need it in order to make cap space. And it could be tied to the fact that, hey, if we want to keep Mark Andrews, we got to get you extended now, kind of thing. That literally could be the discussion at this point, because tomorrow could be the last day for Andrews as a Raven, and the last full day anyway.
It could be. Yeah. Cause think about it. Now Allen's locked up for a while. Mahomes still has 4 years left. Mm-hmm. So, it might be a good time for Lamar to add some extra years as well and help the team out so we can get some of these transactions done.
It does make sense. And hopefully he's at a point right now where he wants to be a Raven for life. I think he's in a good space after the last couple of years. Doesn't mean he won't want to really maximize who he is and the value. But what I really wish with Lamar Jackson was there'd be a way to maximize his endorsement value outside the team. But I'm not sure in the Baltimore market that there's enough total advertising dollars to make that happen. We love Lamar, and if we saw him on commercials for Walmart or for other things, that would be perfectly good. I just don't know that there's a national ad for him that would be like Mahomes State Farm deal or anything like that. And obviously, the one guy who's really dominated the Baltimore local advertising market is Justin Tucker. And I think the natural heir to that throne is probably Patrick Ricard of the current Ravens.
Yeah, I totally agree. Any local deals he gets are going to be, on the smaller side. Yeah. So it's just going to be tough. But yeah, I totally agree, Ken.
All right, let's move on and talk about some other players on the Bengals. The franchise tag on T. Higgins, and this is the second one for him, by the way, really leverages contract negotiations with him going forward, because he's starting with a big number. Yeah, they could sign him to a long-term deal, but he also makes a huge number this year. So he knows he's kind of in the driver's seat with regard to those discussions. The Bengals have a lot of big contracts. The Bengals' problem is not that they don't have the cap room to sign most of these guys, particularly if they slightly change the structure of the contracts and used a little more, you know, leverage in the deals, which would leave more on the back end to make those players, you know, really want to play them out. The problem with them is that they are concentrating a lot of their total team salary into what is likely going to be four players in 2025.
Yeah, the Bengals are the one team that got a whole bunch of bad news the past couple of days, because if you think about T. Higgins, for example, last year he's probably a $25 million player. At the beginning of the league year, maybe he's a $28 million player. Now when DK Metcalf goes out and gets $33 million, you know, he's probably looking for something similar, or maybe even a little more. And then you flip that into Ja'Marr Chase as well. Same thing. He was probably looking at 35 last year, beginning of the league year, just because of cap inflation, it goes up to maybe 37, 38. But now when you have Myles Garrett sign the highest non-quarterback contract at $40 million, he's going to be at least at 40 or 41 now. So it's just Mike Brown tends to look at things from a risk mitigation standpoint. And I think last year with T. Higgins on the franchise tag, you know, there you go. And even before this DK Metcalf deal, I thought T. Higgins was going to be incredibly hard to sign because of all the reasons you mentioned. He has significant leverage right now. One, because he's got basically $48 million in the bank that he didn't have last year before the season. And with DK Metcalf signing that deal, it's like his price just went up. So what a deal that I thought was going to be almost impossible to get done before Metcalf, I think is going to be almost incredibly difficult to get done right now, because they're going to have to just knock his socks off with a structure and number that if they weren't willing to do that a month ago, I just don't see how they're going to be willing to do that now. So I suspect he's either going to be traded or just play that tag out. I just don't see how they're going to come to a compromise with the floor being raised so much, you know, with that Metcalf deal. It just, that Metcalf deal complicated things in a massive way for the Bengals.
There aren't that many teams who really want the T. Higgins contract at this point. So, and want to give the Bengals anything for it. I mean, you know, possibly compensation that would be similar to what the Metcalf deal, maybe a second round pick for Higgins. And then the another team signs him to a Normo deal. I think probably the compensation is less. I think it might be a third round pick for Higgins. It's definitely not a one. But anyway, we'll move on. Trey Hendrickson made a trade request. Is going to be allowed to test the market himself. The Bengals said, go to the market. I don't think that necessarily means Trey Hendrickson is leaving the Bengals, who are still in, you know, good shape to sign him if they so desire. But he obviously saw the money given to Max Crosby and is excited and wanting to explore.
Yeah, the issue with Hendrickson is he is in a peak position right now when he's coming up. He's had 35 sacks over the past two seasons, and there are only three players in NFL history who have had that production over 2 years. He is 31, but still, he's coming off of insane elite production. He's got 1 year left, and once again, the Bengals look at it like we're paying this guy 50% of market value pretty much for that last year.
Right.
So, and again, going back to the risk mitigation, he's a 31-year-old. He's not a 27-year-old. So the Bengals probably see that as a little risky, even though if you go look at how elite pass rushers age, they age very well typically. So I think there's going to be another team out there who's going to pay a second or third for him and give him that contract he wants in the end. I don't see, I mean, elite pass rushers are in high demand from a lot of teams.
Right.
So I think eventually play out and he'll eventually get moved. But yeah, it once again, that Myles Garrett deal just complicated things for him as well, because it just raised his floor a little bit. So I could definitely see him getting moved versus playing that last year out.
He's a risky player to sign for a lot of reasons at age 31. I'm not as sanguine about how pass rushers age. I think there's a large group of them going through the system at any one time, and you want to try and sign them for the year you need them. is if you're signing guys 31 and 32 years old, as the Ravens have, and been very successful with it. I'm not seeing the value in trading a draft pick and also giving Trey Hendrickson a multi-year deal, even though he's been a hell of a pass rusher. He's a complete thorn in the Ravens side. Love to see him in the NFC. I would be really surprised, honestly, if the compensation is anything more than a mid to low second round pick.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, you got to think, if they lose him off of that defense, whew, that is a big loss.
Yep.
They've had a lot of other losses too with guys they've released. Yep. So, I mean, that defense, which was not stellar, I think they finished about 20th last year. If they trade him, that is a giant loss for that defense.
By the way, they did today re-sign BJ Hill. Another one took place about an hour ago. 3 years for $33 million.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
I'm actually excited for that one because I think that might help set the market on Travis Jones. So he's definitely a similar, very important component of the Bengals pass rush. And he definitely could be a guy that and he's been injured. So that's part of the reason why I think that the dollar figure is lower. But it'll be interesting to see how the Travis Jones negotiations go from here.
Correct.
I hope they're happening. You know, we haven't heard anything about them, but the Ravens are good about not talking about who they're working with until they're ready to talk about the.
I think I sent you the DM about it.
Odighizuwa, yeah.
I think Travis Jones's number is a lot more clearly defined now because of that BJ Hill deal and because of that other deal.
Okay,
so I would hope that, you know, something gets done there.
Osa, different player from Travis Jones, honestly, in my mind. He's a three tech. He's more like Matabike than he is like Travis Jones. But that would tell you that Travis Jones is kind of in a different category. The guys who are like him are Cameron Hayward and like Travis Jones and BJ Hill are two good ones in the division. I'm trying to think of other players in the NFL who fall in this category. If he were a little bit older, we would have and had been a little bit more consistent so far in his career, we'd have the Eagles guy, Jordan Davis, would be in that category. But anyway, I'm still hopeful that the Hill signing means good things for Travis Jones.
Right.
All right. The Bengals are down to about $40 million in effective cap space, which honestly is still plenty to sign everybody if they're willing to do any kind of leveraging of the contracts. But that can be approved. And they already have the franchise tag on T. Higgins is already included in that. The money for paid Chase is already included in that. If they extend Burrow, they actually reduce their improve their cap position.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to throw in here about the Bengals, go look at that Orlando Brown Jr. contract they signed him to, because they stepped way out on a guaranteed money ledge that I've never seen them or many other teams do. They gave him 4 for $64 million. And instead of giving him a typical $16 million signing bonus and that's it, they gave him $31 million signing bonus, fully guaranteed, which was basically 45% of the contract. And I suspect that might be causing some issues for Higgins and Chase, because that's the only contract they've ever done like that. And I'm really shocked they actually did it. It might have been what they had to do to get him.
Yeah.
But that could be causing problematics with the guarantees for Higgins and Chase.
Yeah, the contract still, I wouldn't say it has a ton of risk in there for the team. He's making $6.4 million this year. He makes $13.1 next year. There are some roster and workout bonuses, which bump those by about $1 million per year. Here's the problem, and the Browns have run into this, so we'll move on to them next, but we'll tee it up with this, is that you can't over-lever a contract and expect the player to be honorable about filling it out. And that's Myles Garrett told Cleveland, basically, screw you. I'm not playing the last year. You've only got me for $15 million, I think it is, total in those last 2 years of the contract. Myles Garrett says, I'm not playing for that. You know, yeah, that was your problem. You structured the contract that way, but I'm not playing for that. And he'd be hold out on them, and he wouldn't be too concerned about missing 10 games. It's a terrible position to put yourself in. And that happened because they borrowed every single dollar they could and leveraged it out into the future. And it's a very foolish way to deal with a player.
Yeah. If you want to talk about over leveraged contracts, the Cleveland Browns are the prime example right there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the plan is, Ken, but they are leveraged to the absolute hilt on basically every big money deal.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only paid Watson on his $230 million after 3 years, $57 million. They still have $173 million left on that deal.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like that for basically every player because they're trying to do the Eagles void year strategy. And it shows you what can happen if things don't go well, exactly.
Right.
And that, I don't like that. But
the Browns, you know, are coming up with nothing in all likelihood in exchange for their stupidity and in the Watson deal and over leveraging their contracts. The Eagles made it work for a Super Bowl, and I got to tell you, I hate the strategy. So I really don't like the notion of, you know, basically stuffing two reset years down your season ticket holders' throats. But you know, the Eagles have been, they've been good, they've been bad at times in the past. So they could deal with, I guess, a bad year. Ravens fans, they've very rarely felt this kind of anything but affluence in the National Football League. Not since pre-2000. And by the way, we don't even talk about those years as if they exist anymore. Look at the media guide. Since 2000, the Ravens have, since 2008, sometimes it's because it's the Harbaugh era, but there isn't anything that you know, you can find of a historical nature, of a podcast nature that relates those 96 to 99 years. They have been wiped from the collective memory of Ravens fans. Some good football back there, by the way. It was fun watching that team, you know, grow, particularly in 99 and turn the corner. But it's wiped out of history. They've never had anything other than that. You know, it's these individual years like 2015 and 2021 and the late season injuries to Lamar in 21 and 22 that really stick out as, you know, downturns in Ravens history during that period.
Yeah. The good thing is we're set up for the next few years here. So I don't project any downturns in the near future for the Ravens, because they're, as long as you draft well and you can sign your guys early, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Their cornerstone players are in place. And by the way, the Ravens led the entire NFL in, I believe, both Pro Bowlers and All Pro designations last year. It's not reasonable to have a Pro Bowler or an All Pro at every single position. You know, the Ravens have done a marvelous job of getting talent in place. And all I continue to hear is, well, that's not going to do it in the playoffs. In the playoffs, that's not going to do it.
So we need a big splash, Ken. We need a difference maker. Yeah. Like, the Ravens have literally had two top 10 DVOA teams the past two seasons. Okay, yeah. This team is loaded.
In the history of DVOA, by the way.
Yes.
And there's never been a team, even with the – look, everybody's as frustrated about the playoff losses. I'm as frustrated as anybody else. I'm sure Paul is as well. But I love this level of football that the Ravens are playing at. And I'm buying in for another season and rolling the fucking dice. And if it were to happen three more years in a row at this kind of level, I'd be thrilled. And if they didn't win a Super Bowl, I wouldn't be entirely surprised, but they are a great, great football team.
Yeah, the level Eric DaCosta is operating right now is just, it's unbelievable. And it just shows with all these of our own players that we need to lock up now in the future. I mean, it's a blessing to have that, you know, versus having to do what the Steelers did, go outside the organization, give up draft capital, and pay huge money because you haven't drafted well in the past. So,
I mean, and in the NFC, those strategies for roller coaster parity, sacrificing the future, either trading draft picks or loading up on void years, those have worked because there really haven't been dominant quarterbacks. The AFC has the big four now, the four quarterbacks of the apocalypse who aren't going to let anybody else get to the Super Bowl anytime soon. If you think anybody is beating Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes, or Allen in the next few years to make the Super Bowl, I think you're probably sorely mistaken.
In order to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you got to run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And the NFC has just been, I mean, let's be frank, it's been down the past few years as far as depth, you know what I mean, from the top down.
Yeah, the best chance, and the team was in really good cap position to join the Big Four, would have been the Texans. And C.J. Stroud took a big step backward in his sophomore year, but he would have been another option to maybe join the group. But there's, I mean, the Steelers, they can rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic as much as they want. Without a drafted top quarterback, probably on their first contract, they're not going to be able to compete with any of those four teams.
Yeah, there's a big a lot of the players, we didn't touch on T.J. Watt, but he's up for a new deal too. And there are a lot of the fan base who would rather trade him, get significant capital back, and start to do that. But again, the Steelers are intent on trying to win, throwing, cobbling something together. So, you know, they're going to sign Watt to a huge extension. It's probably going to look a lot like the Myles Garrett extension. And he'll retire a Steeler.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably what's going to happen. Let's go to the Browns. Myles Garrett re-signed, of course, yesterday, maybe it was Saturday, one or the other. Effectively a $40 million AAV. They have not yet, I believe, on that deal, impaled themselves on a really poor structure. But that may come because big decisions on the amount of cap are out there. I saw one post on the Cleveland boards talking about how the road to play the playoffs part two kind of thing. It's about the Browns getting back to the playoffs in 2025. Now, it's not impossible, particularly as if they want to get in through the back door as a wild card. They're not concerned about winning the division. 10-7, 9-8. It's possible. The Browns have some talent on that team, and they certainly could do it. But I think this team is probably better served, especially with a quarterback, to draft their QB in 26 or even 27, and eat the problem now, and have your season ticket holders effectively be compensated with a new stadium, the thought of a new stadium, the excitement of a new stadium, and the prospects of an indoor new stadium in Brook Park that they're talking about.
Yeah, the big decision in Cleveland is take your medicine now or take it later. Yep. And just like you said, in my humble opinion, the time to do it is now, okay? Because, you know, anything's possible, Ken. But if I had to place a wager, I'm going to bet that the Cleveland Browns aren't going to be in playoff contention or some great team next year, no matter what they do.
Right.
So why don't you just take the medicine now? And I know it's another rebuild, but, you know, that's just the spot you're in. I mean, I don't see how just pushing this off and pushing it off and pushing it off is a long-term 3 to 5 year plan for success, because that Deshaun Watson money has got to be paid at some point. And when it does, it is going to be a significant problem on the cap. So like you, I'd take the medicine now, but they, just like the Steelers, they are apparently trying to cobble something together to go 9-8 or 10-7 and get bounced from the playoffs in the first round. I just don't understand it.
Assuming that, Carter goes number one then the Browns hold the second overall pick. I would honestly, if I were a Browns fan, I'd be advocating to trade that pick for a team that thinks they can win with Cam Ward and wants to trade multiple future number ones and twos for it. Okay. You can get two ones, two twos, some package like that. I don't know if that could be supported. I think you eat the medicine now, you pile up draft capital, and you look fantastic. I don't believe that's what the Browns will do. I think the Browns will probably make this mistake of going after Ward and will effectively waste the first 5 years of his deal with players like Watson and Garrett eating up too much of that. They're different cases. Okay. Well, obviously the Watson situation is a whole lot of money that's not helping the team at all. And Garrett's a whole lot of money that is helping the team, but with a lot of their money spent on other players already. I mean, they have other big contracts too. It's not like they don't have other ones, and they have a whole bunch that are leveraged to the hilt, meaning all the 2025 money has already been borrowed out of them. In a lot of cases, the 2026 money has been as well. So they're still looking for cornerstones.
Yeah, I have no doubt the Myles Garrett contract is going to be that exact same way. They're going to push it all off into the future. But like you just said, the Browns won't do what you and I think they should do because they're the Browns. And, you know, it just seems like they can't get out of their own way. But I just, like I said, I just don't see the path to prosperity in the very near future. And if that's the case, you know, you got to just, I mean, I talked to a couple of Browns fans on Twitter and they think I'm nuts saying you should rebuild. Like, no, we can compete. Oh, okay. You go try that and see what happens in 2025. But, you know, thankfully they're in our division and we can typically beat up on them because of this mismanagement.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the loss to the Browns was very significant to the Ravens this last year. But, you know, the Browns are another team that in theory is trying to pick a quarterback off the carousel this offseason. And, you know, they have the luxury of being able to say, we can do it in free agency or we can do it in the draft. If they get a Jaden Daniels type performance out of Cam Ward, and I don't believe he's at that level. I don't believe he's at the Caleb Williams level for that matter. I think he's it's not a great draft for quarterbacks. It would be how I'd say it, but somebody, him, Shadur, somebody else may end up being a good quarterback out of this group. It's just, I think if I were the Browns, I'd probably try a mid to later round quarterback, a third or fourth round guy rather than spend the first round capital.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd find a guy who's got some wheels with his legs in the mid rounds, put him out there, not spend a lot of money on the position and see what happens. You know, maybe he's better, maybe he's not. But I mean, what have you got to lose at this point versus trying to pay another stopgap, another 20 or 30 million or what have you? It just doesn't make any sense what they're doing.
There's a term in poker you may have heard of, but it's don't tap on the aquarium. Or don't tap on the glass. And what that refers to is players or bad poker players are known as fish, particularly in cash games. And one bad player at the table can really improve your expected value at poker. So you're really hoping that you get a couple of guys with, you know, $500 to $1,000 to sit down with you who really don't know how to play the game. But anyway, the point I'm making at why I'm saying about this is that we don't want to be giving this advice necessarily to the Cleveland Browns if we think it's correct. But in this case, I don't think it matters because I don't think they'll follow it no matter what. I think they've kind of decided on their own path. And the Watson deal kind of tips their hand in terms of how they're going to deal with a variety of situations that are coming up.
Totally agree. Totally agree, Ken.
All right. Paul, always a pleasure talking football with you. Tell folks where they can find you online.
At the NFL analyst on Twitter. They're way too much. Shoot me a DM, reply, whatever. I'll follow you back.
All right. Hopefully Twitter will be back up and running. It's been very bizarre today what's going on. I don't know if there's some sort of cybersecurity issue.
What a day for that to happen, Ken, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it's a tough day for it to happen. Obviously, a bad day for markets, too. So a lot of things going on here. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open. In particular, I'm looking for people who want to do a UFA discussion on a second tier player. Now, I've already had to cancel a couple of shows that were already in the can, including a trade for Myles Garrett show and another one about Hassan Reddick, who got signed today by Tampa Bay, by the way, because they lost their timeliness. So the easiest thing, tell me that $4 million safety you want to go after. Tell me that, you know, 2 years for $6 million receiver you like, who maybe is a guy that's not going to be signed until after the draft. And since those are the guys that the Ravens are likely to go after anyway, those make really good discussion topics and they're a lot of fun. Paul, thanks again for coming on.
No problem, Ken. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study. Thank you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
Love is...
Exhilarating and exciting.
Love is...
Keeping things spicy.
Love is...
Hot. So hot. Ooh.
Wait, are you eating a Penn Station Buffalo Chicken Sub?
Well, yeah, it's only here for a limited time. I love you.
Huh. Now that's a sub I can love.
Spice things up with our Buffalo Chicken Sub. Available for a limited time. Penn Station. Love your sub.